Hello, everybody. I'm Dominic Capone. I'm sitting alongside Gary Mico. We're doing our first podcast. We're going to be talking about everything MLB today. And we're going to start off with Matt Harvey. He has just not looked like himself through the first about 2 months of this new season. He's 3-7 with a 6 ERA. And he's coming off another loss against the Nationals. It's 0-2 against the Nationals this year. He gave up 4 more home runs. And also, he started pitching well. He's pitching well through the fourth, but then everything just unraveled after giving up a home run to Ryan Zimmerman. Gary, a lot of people are speculating that Matt Harvey, after coming off Tommy John, he pitched well. He had 13-8 with a 2.71 ERA in 2015, but he pitched about 190 innings pitched, and then he pitched almost 30 more in the postseason. Do you think that has a little bit of wear and tear on his arm? But he is still throwing in the high 90s.
He's still got the stuff, but what happens to a lot of guys, especially with Matt Harvey, he's a workhorse. He wants the ball. You know, he doesn't want to be taken out of games. So in the end of the World Series last year, he went to go off the top of the ninth, and he actually ended up costing them some runs. And he's doing well in terms of his stuff. He's throwing 96 miles an hour. He's got all his stuff working, but his location is off. And we've seen so many guys in the past. I mean, even though Tommy John is, because of the rigorous training they have to go through, a lot of the guys come back and they're still throwing hard. I think it's just Harvey. I think he's just tired. He just wants the ball so often, and I think he's just tired. That's just all I see. And a lot of people are saying, you know, they're going to skip his starts and stuff like that. But that doesn't make any sense because he's Matt Harvey. Like, I know the Mets have a deep rotation. They got pitching, but it's Matt Harvey. It's not. And they're not going to move him to the bullpen. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
There's some people even calling for his head and maybe saying that they should put him down in the minor leagues. I don't think that's the way to go. And who would have ever thought just a couple years ago when his ERA was around like 2 in the mid-2s, then who would have thought that in a couple years, in 2016, right after coming off a World Series, that people would be talking and trying to get him to go down into the minor leagues and be devoted. But, it's pretty shocking to see Matt Harvey. Like, he's only 27 years old, and I think a big thing for him, though, his agent, Scott Boras. You know how he likes to go after the big money, and he's going to be a free agent after the end of this year, so it's going to be weird, and it's going to be interesting to see how that shapes up going throughout the rest of the season.
Well, Harvey's going to get paid, and there's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of how much. And he
seems like he's losing a lot of millions of dollars.
Yeah, because a lot of people were saying after Strasburg signed that 7-year deal, they were saying that, you know, that was going to compare a lot to what Harvey was going to get. But Strasburg, especially last night, he has 8 wins now or something like that. He's playing really, he's pitching really well. And everything's working for Strasburg. And he's got that nasty slider. His changeup's unhittable. And he throws gas. So, I mean, Harvey could do those things, but he's just not putting the ball where he wants to right now. So, I mean, Harvey's gonna get his money because they all do nowadays. So, I'm not really sure. I don't think it's nothing to worry about. I mean, obviously it is, but not in terms of the big picture because we think about it. Remember, we talked about last year when Clayton Kershaw got off that rough start. Obviously, it wasn't of these proportions, but everybody was saying, you know, he doesn't have it anymore, but these guys do. They go through rough patches just like hitters do. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton's, 4 for his last 40-something? No one's saying they should send him down to the minor leagues. It's just, I guess Matt Harvey just has a bigger impact on ball games. So, I think if I'm Terry Collins, I'm going to give him the ball still, but he's going to be on a short leash. So if he's in the third or fourth inning and he's giving up 4 runs, I think I'm gonna...
And I wonder what Matt Harvey's thinking right now, just because he went from being arguably the best pitcher in around 2013 and 2014-15 to now not even being the second or third, even fourth maybe, if you want to say Bartolo Colon, on his staff.
Yeah.
Because the Mets' rotation is just unbelievable. Jacob DeGrom has lost a couple of, he lost a little bit of velocity, but Syndergaard's going out there throwing 100 every game. He'll be throwing 100 with his, 80-90s with the pitch count, but
I also forget about Steven Matz, one of the best young pitchers in the game. So they can replace Harvey if they wanted to, but I don't think it's going to happen. Harvey's a superstar, and they're going to give him the ball.
Yeah, I just can't believe what Bartolo Colon is doing this year also.
Yeah, that's incredible. Bartolo's a freak in nature. He's really emerged as one of the more popular players in the game.
Yeah, just because
he just does it all.
properly at Farmer Field.
Yeah, everybody, they look in the news, they want to say, what did Bartolo do next? It's kind of, you know, they...
And when you hit that home run.
Oh, when he hit that was incredible. That,
yeah.
And then, of course, it's James Shields, who's a savant when it comes to giving a home run. But
and the thing is, he's 43 right now, so that means when he was 39 with Oakland, when he was an all-star, he was 18-6 with a 2.65 ERA as a 39-year-old. He's 43 now, and he's 4-3 with 3.44. That's his lowest ERA since the 2.65 year in 2013. Yeah, he's just incredible.
He's never even been a strikeout pitcher either. It's not that he's, like, extremely dominant. He just always puts the ball in play. It's like the same pitch he throws every time, too. It's a tailing fastball.
Yeah.
And it's, what, you throw 92? It's nothing special, but he's just so effective, and he's so durable. He's thrown over 3,000 innings in a 19-year career. It's incredible.
Pretty interesting. Yeah, going back to Matt Harvey, like you said, they were thinking about maybe giving him a rest, skipping a start. But you know Matt Harvey's a competitor. He's going to want to go out there, and it's going to be hard to sit him down, especially when he's going through this rough patch, because he just wants to probably keep getting the ball. And you know, I'm actually not going to talk for Matt Harvey. I don't know what he's thinking. He's probably in a little bit of shock just because he's only 27 years old. He's like, what am I doing wrong? My velocity's still there. I just have to get this location down. He is giving up a lot of home runs. His location might be off, and the hitters are jumping on breaking balls that are over the plate or fastballs right down the middle.
I know he's a tough guy, and he's a workhorse, but I think it's getting to him a little bit because obviously he has a lot of expectations on him to bring this Mets team back to the World Series again. And he didn't go out and answer questions from the media the other day after he got shelled by the Nationals. So. You know, you wonder what's going through Matt Harvey's head, and he's kind of a complex figure because he always has his off the field stuff that's going on. No one really knows what he's doing. He's a really complex individual. But at the end of the day, he's a very talented man. And
yeah, and people were, you know, he was the Dark Knight of New York, and he was going to be like the next Derek Jeter in the way of like dating the models and stuff like that. And now. Seems like he has been booed a couple times at City, and I don't blame the fans. I mean, they don't hate Matt Harvey, the guy, they just hate him. Well, I'm not going to say they just don't like the way he's pitching right now, and they want to let him know that he has to change his ways and has to be sooner rather than later. And the Mets in Washington still going at it. And it's going to be going and staying in the NL East. I want to talk about the Phillies because they have been. A lot of people say they're going to have 100 losses this year. I mean, I understand how it's still early on, but it's just been crazy. The Phillies right now are 25-21, sitting 3 games out behind Washington and the Mets, the first place in the East, in the AL East. That's pretty spectacular. And David Murphy for the Nationals got 392. That is just unbelievable as well. David Murphy, obviously, the New York Mets hero. He led the Mets to the World Series basically by himself with that bat. Yoenis Cespedes was nowhere to be found in the playoffs. But David Murphy now back at 392 with the Nationals against the Mets. He already hit 2 home runs.
I think this is the year. I know Cespedes had success in Oakland. He had success in Boston. Mm-hmm. I think this is the year where Cespedes is really going to make a run at MVP award because the way that he's really been the center of this Mets lineup. It's something we haven't seen from him before. He's always been a nice complimentary power bat, but we've never really seen him carry a team. He carried them to the postseason last year after they acquired him at the deadline, and I think this year is going to be another opportunity for him to really anchor this Mets lineup because he's really emerged as a superstar in this game. What comes with team success is individual player popularity, and I don't think that if the Mets were as good as they are now, which kind of came out of nowhere, it's just their young talent that's gotten there. I don't think that Bartolo Colon or Yoenis Cespedes would be as popular as they are if the Mets didn't get so much attention. And we're really realizing how underrated some of these players can be. Cespedes is, he's 30 years old. He hasn't been in the majors very long after coming over from Cuba, but he's an excellent player. He's an all-star. He's won himself 2 home run derbies. And I think this is the year where Cespedes is really going to establish himself as a superstar.
He's batting 309 right now already 15 homers. And obviously last year with the Mets, he batted 287 and hit 17 homers, 44 RBIs in only 57 games. And he went off, and that, he basically led the Mets to take over the Nationals in that NL East race that they had. And the Nationals basically gave it away. And talking about the Nationals, Bryce Harper's been slumping of late. He's not staying up to his MVP standards. Obviously, batting last year way over 300. This year he's batting, I believe, in the 250s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he also started off the season very hot. He's always gone through cold stretches in his career. Mm-hmm. At least he's staying healthy now. He had 521 at-bats last year, 153 games. And he never played more than 139 any other seasons he played. So, and he also combined for just over 200 games played in his age 20 and 21 season. So he's staying healthy now. It's not really anything for him to worry about. He's still playing well. I mean, it doesn't really matter. He's batting 246 because he's a 432 on base percentage. And his OPS is 969. How often do you see that, where a guy's batting that low and he's still almost got 1,000 OPS?
Yeah, Bryce had a game earlier this year where he walked six times in the game. And
he got hit by a pitch, too.
Yeah, like I believe it was against the Cubs.
Yeah, it was.
Mother's Day. And, I just think it's crazy. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, they're doing all this, and they're so young. Bryce Harper's 23 years old. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen, how much money he's going to get in 2019 when he's a free agent.
Oh, if Bryce puts together, a few more great seasons, I think he could surpass Stanton as the highest-paid player ever.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely happened. This guy, I remember, I think it was 2011 when they were both the two top prospects, him and Trout.
Yeah.
I remember looking at him like, man, these guys are really good. Like, but I didn't expect them to be just take over the game like they are. You mentioned the Phillies before. They are not irrelevant this year by any stretch. And a large part of that is the trade they made with the Astros, where they dealt Ken Giles.
Yeah.
They got the number one pick from 2013, Mark Appel. They got a second round pick. And they also got Vince Velasquez, who's made the biggest impact so far. He's been a quality right-handed pitcher for them. And, this Phillies team, they did what they need to do. They dumped Rollins. They dumped Utley. I don't know what they're going to do with Ryan Howard, but they've really managed to get all those big contracts, for the most part, off the books. And it's a good thing for them because it allows them more financial flexibility, and they're acquiring prospects. They're getting younger and younger and younger. They got Aaron Nola, who's one of the top prospects in baseball. He's a pitcher. And then they have J.P. Crawford, the minor league shortstop. They got a bright future, the Phillies do. They have the money to spend, but right now is not really time for them to spend money. So when these guys develop, they'll be able to really put together a team like they did in the late 2000s, early 2010s. Yeah. So the Phillies, I think I was surprised that the expectations for them were so low, and they always are because they always lose 100 games, and it's ridiculous. But it's got to be good for Phillies fans this year because their team is relevant and they're in it, even though they're not at the same caliber as the Mets and the Nationals are. Another team that really really took a kick to the stomach this year was the Marlins.
Yeah.
Because they had big expectations last year after signing Stanton to that contract. They got D. Gordon, and now this year, Yelich is battling the stomach injury. Ichiro is performing incredibly well. Ichiro is literally just carrying that team right now. And he, my goodness, Stanton, like I said before, he's in a huge slump. And Yelich is out right now. He's got a stomach injury or something of that sort. And D. Gordon had the positive PED test, which was absolutely shocking. I couldn't believe that. But the Marlins, they're still... this is just 1 year, and I think it's nothing to worry about. They'll have D. Gordon back before the end of the season. I don't know if it'll be enough time to make a run at the division title or a wild card spot, but it's still this team. They're a newer franchise after they moved, and they were really disappointing to start out. So I think now they got a younger core with Marcelo Zuna. They got Stanton. I think they. and especially Jose Fernandez, who came off Tommy John surgery. He's still pitching well. I think they got a lot of young pitching, and I think they're, regardless of how they finish this year, I think their future is bright.
Yeah, for Ichiro, he has, in his last 10 games, a 4-for-4 game, a 2-for-4 game, and a 4-for-5 game. He's batting 550, 11-for-20 in his last 7 games. So, yeah, Ichiro's doing it all right now, and he's 42 years old. He's just one of the greatest contact hitters in the sport ever, just because, you know, back when he hit with Seattle in 2001, and just that swing where he starts going to, like, first base before he's even there, he's able to, you know, get the whole plate and be able to contact and slap the ball into left field. Ichiro's still doing it at the young age of 42.
Well, I'll be forget is this guy came into the league when he was 27.
Yeah.
And he's already almost at 3,000 hits, which is unbelievable.
I know.
He was incredible. I think he won the MVP and the Rookie of the Year in the same season. And he has the record for hits in a season. I believe it's 262.
Yeah, 262.
And my goodness, he's just pretty much a lock for the Hall of Fame at this point. I think he has been for a number of years, and it's been great to have him to watch him in the game.
In 2004, he got a 372, 262 hits, and only 8 home runs. That's what I like the most. He's not a home run hitter. His most home runs of the year was 2005. He had 15. So.
Yeah, I heard a lot of stories that he actually can't hit for a lot of power. Like in batting practice, he just demolishes balls. It's like the second deck, and then in the game, that's not really his approach.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Ichiro has definitely been a great for the game. He's been an icon of the sport in both the U.S. and Japan. I was going to ask you, what do you think is the biggest surprise in baseball this year? Maybe is it, like, a team accomplishment, a player? Is there, like, what do you think is, like, the biggest surprise for you this season?
There's a couple. I know we talked about Matt Harvey. That's a big surprise just because of what happened last year and how he pitched the Phillies. Everyone thought they were going to be. But going to David Ortiz, he's been a big surprise because you don't see a lot of 40-year-olds putting up the numbers David Ortiz is putting up this year. Yeah, and he just hit for a triple the other day, his first triple since 2013. This year he's batting 333 with already 11 home runs, 41 RBIs. And then 333 is his best batting average since so far in his career. You know, the best he had was 332 in 2007. Obviously, there's a lot of games left to go. And David Ortiz, a lot of people are saying, why not come back? You know, why you want to go out on top or you want to try for one more, see what you can do. Obviously, Derek Jeter said, no, that's it for him at 40. He wants to stop. It doesn't matter what he did. And David Ortiz, he has the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, the most home runs ever by DH. And I don't know. A lot of people are going to say go back to like 2003 when the report about him taking steroids. And I think it's pretty interesting because in like 2000 when Minnesota, it was in 130 games, he only had 10 home runs in 130 games and 478 plate appearances.
He had a .282 average and a .364 on base. Both of those are great numbers. And what surprised me, you see a guy like David Ortiz and you picture like, one of those all-or-nothing power hitters at the DH spot. But he's got a career 380 on base, .285 hitter. I mean, he's got a .928 career OPS. He's always been a massive power bat, and he's one of the most feared hitters in history. He's probably the most clutch hitter in the history of the postseason.
Yeah. 2013 World Series.
And 2004, too. He had the walk-off hits in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And but I think David Ortiz will make the Hall of Fame because it's really about your image and the impact you had on the sport.
Yeah, every player loves him.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a bad image in any way. And I know, you know, all the traditionalists are going to say, no, you know, steroids, it means you're out. But David Ortiz has done so much for the sport. The way he brought the city together after the Boston Marathon bombings, you know, he represents not only all of New England, but the city of Boston. He represents the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. He has for so long. And he's just done so much for the city that I think one rumor about a failed drug test. I don't know if it's confirmed or not that he failed the test, but
I think a lot of people are just suspicious because in 2003, that's when he came, went to Boston, and obviously from Minnesota. Minnesota, 2002, he hit 20 home runs, and then 2003, 31. That's not a big jump, but 2003, that's when he really started becoming Big Poppy, David Ortiz, the player we know today, and the person who's putting up 11 home runs in 2016. So I think a lot of people are just suspicious on that. And then you never know. You never know how it might shape up and how the writers of baseball and who choose who gets in the Hall of Fame, who vote. You never know what their mindset's going to be in 5 years when David Ortiz is eligible, if he does retire after the end of this year. You never know. Like, people may change their minds and say steroid users, they've done a lot for this game. They brought it back, obviously, in the late 90s with Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire. You had Barry Bonds, obviously, Alex Rodriguez, and Rafael Palmeiro. And these kind of players are just, they're historic players in the game, maybe not for the reasons you want them to be if you don't like steroids, but steroids have been a big part of this game, and maybe their images will change in a couple years. No, A-Rod's retiring in 2017, he said, after his last season with the Yankees, so 2022, I believe, will be his first year of eligibility. So you never know. That's 8 years away from now, so you never know what the mindset is going to be.
Like, this issue is so complicated. Like, the steroids and Hall of Fame, everybody loves to talk about it. Everybody's different opinions. But here's the bottom line. If you want it to be fair, you just got to let everybody in. You got to let, no matter what. You know, it's a lot of these guys have served their punishments already. A lot of guys have been banned from baseball or dead now. And obviously, like, it's just not fair to a point. I know these guys cheated, but, you know, some of them gambled, whatever. You just got to let everybody in. They all had a huge impact on the sport. Without what Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa did, you know, we might not have the same baseball we do today. They, you know, without Cal Ripken Jr., what he did, without, you know, there's so many different players that, like, revolutionize the sport. They bring the sport out of the gutter. Cal Ripken did it after the strike. He wasn't a steroid player, but he's just an example of someone that really brought the game, you know, back into popularity.
In 1994, that was really bad for baseball when they went on strike, and you're right, Cal Ripken Jr. was one of those players, obviously. Then the Yankees became prominent. Everyone was watching them. Everyone was watching the home runs by Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. It just brought everyone together and back to baseball.
I think what made people realize it is when Bonds kind of just, like, what McGwire and Sosa did, they broke a record that was 37 years old, I believe, 39 years old. And people were like, wow, you know, I mean, I guess all records are meant to be broken. But these guys, they shattered the record. Like, it was almost effortless. And they were great for the sport. Guys loved watching them. And, you know, people just, you'd have a full house just seeing them hit batting practice. And it's incredible. And what, I think once Bonds kind of blew the doors off of everything and really made it unrealistic, that's when people started, that's when it was fishy. And, I think people are saying, you know, this is just not, it's not realistic. You can't be doing this. I think if they just barely broke some of their records, then I think people wouldn't have as big of a problem. They might not even notice that steroids were an issue. But obviously it was causing some really improbable things to happen in the sport. But regardless, you know, it's not, I hate when people are like, no, they should just cancel all their stats that they did. Those people hit those balls. They threw those pitches. Like, they did those things in the games. You can't just say they never happened. That's just such an ignorant way of going about it. These guys, regardless if you like them or not, or if you believe, you know, if you're a massive supporter of the integrity of the game, you know, obviously that doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a cheater or as you, whatever you want to call them, to be in the sport and be honored like that. It does not matter. All these guys were fantastic athletes. People don't talk about you like this if you're bad. None of these guys were bad players. They were all excellent players. Just you have no idea who did steroids, who didn't. You have no idea. There's no way to possibly tell. It does not matter. If D. Gordon can do steroids, anybody could have.
Like, yeah, because D. Gordon's not a power. A lot of people think, oh, you inject steroids, you're going to hit the ball 450 feet every time. D. Gordon has never hit home runs. He's just a contact hitter. He took steroids. And sticking with the topic of people getting into the Hall of Fame, if steroid users break the rules of steroids, and that's a big rule, and they still have an eligibility to make it to the Hall of Fame, I feel like people like Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson should also have, just put them on the ballot. If no one votes for them, that's their choice, but at least give them an opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think a lot of these decisions, whether the appeals that I know Pete Rose filed an appeal to be reinstated, it got denied. If he, you see, those things don't happen. The actual appeals themselves, they don't happen unless people like want you to be in it. If everybody told Pete Rose every day, like, you're an awful person, you should not be in baseball's Hall of Fame, he wouldn't be going around and saying, you know, I should be in. You know, the fans in Cincinnati love him. He's one of those guys that deserves to be in. Everybody deserves to be in. It does not matter if you're Alex Rodriguez, who's gotten in countless trouble with steroids. It does not matter. These guys all brought so much popularity to the sport. And what kind of a Hall of Fame is it if you don't include the best players?
Yeah.
These guys were all – are you going to tell me that when Bonds was a skinny outfielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, you're going to tell me he wasn't talented? It just doesn't – you know, that guy was a Hall of Famer before the massive physical changes came about. That doesn't mean he wasn't doing steroids back then. Just saying there's obvious, like, differences. And he – you know, there was kind of – if you look at his career, it's in two different phases. One, he was, like, a great all-around player. The other one, he's just a straight slugger. And it doesn't matter because – these guys all brought so much popularity to the sport. They all deserve to be in. The only way for it to be fair, to stop all the arguments, is if you just let them all in. Don't even have to let them all in. Just let them all on the ballot and then let everybody else decide. And also, but all of them deserve to be in anyway. You know, you cannot like Alex Rodriguez. It doesn't mean he's not one of the best players in the history of the sport. You know, the Hall of Fame thing, David Ortiz should definitely be in. And, you know, all the rest of them should be in as well. And that's pretty much the end all be all the topic. Another pretty incredible thing in baseball going on right now is Jackie Bradley with his hitting streak. Speaking of Hall of Famers, he's halfway to Joe DiMaggio's record for 56 straight games. And Jackie Bradley was one of the worst hitters, you know, that people were talking about a few years ago. And now all of a sudden he's really found it. He's going nuts. Jackie Bradley in a crowded Red Sox outfield where no one's job is really guaranteed, obviously, except for probably Mookie Betts. You know, Jackie Bradley has really turned on the gas this year, and he's really established himself in a very short, small sample size as a star.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, in 2014, he played in 127 games, he had 76 hits. 2015, he played in 74 games, had 55 hits. This year, he's only played in 44 games, and he's one hit away from the total he had last year. He's at 54 hits this year, and he's batting .346.
Yeah, he's a .237 career hitter.
I mean, this is he's just having an unbelievable season. His agent is actually Scott Boras, and he's a free agent, I believe, 2021, according to the contract. But, yeah, Jackie Bradley's an unbelievable story this year. And I know everyone's saying, like, Joe DiMaggio, but Joe DiMaggio was Joe DiMaggio, and he's only halfway there, and it seems like this has been going on, obviously, around a month now. It's been a while, so it's going to be hard to keep that up, but Jackie Bradley's been doing it.
So according to Ian Brown of MLB.com, he's writing for the Red Sox, he wrote an article yesterday about Jackie Bradley and some facts about his hitting streak, and It's just incredible what he's been able to do. Jackie Bradley is like one of those guys that you really just do not expect to be doing something like this. And the 56 games is something that a lot of people consider an untouchable record, along with the 5-for-11 wins, you know, the 5,700 strikeouts, even the games played. A lot of people consider the 56 games one of those untouchable records. I believe the closest anyone's gotten is Pete Rose. I think he had 44 games. But Jackie Bradley, my goodness. But Joe DiMaggio, he had 56 games. You know how hard it is to even play 56 straight games nowadays?
Oh, yeah, no, people are taking off all the time. And, I mean, I understand how injuries and all that, but people like Joe DiMaggio, Cal Ripken, Lou Gehrig, who played every single day. A couple years ago, Prince Fielder was playing every single day as well. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty interesting now because they're like Didi Gregorius on the Yankees. He's what, 26 years old, and Joe Girardi, the manager of the Yankees, just be like, "Okay, you played four straight games. Take a seat. We're gonna put Ronald Torres in or something like that." I mean, he's 26 years old. Why can't he play every game? He should be able to play every single game. And it's pretty interesting to see all these players sit down. Like Bryce Harper's 23. He's taking the day off. And I believe he took the day off today. So, yeah, those players aren't around anymore. Like pitchers who pitch all these innings. And Joe Girardi, just a couple of days ago, Ivan Nova pitched in the sixth inning, 62 pitches, and he took them out to put in Dellin Betances, Andrew Miller, and Aroldis Chapman. I mean, the pitcher had 62 pitches. So Joe Girardi has this thing where he doesn't really want his pitchers going over.
Well, it's everybody. It's a specialist game nowadays. Yeah. And with the injuries the Yankees have had, in the scenario you explained, Girardi doesn't want to risk anything.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to risk anything. So if he gets in the sixth inning, that's the reason why they acquired Chapman. Not only was that deal too good for Cashman to turn down, that now with those three, you can have you could take out your pitcher in the sixth inning and the rest of the game is lights out.
Yeah.
And if you decide not to use one of them and you have them close the next game, you just use two of them and have one go and bring in somebody else. It's just such a nice convenience to have. That's why a lot of teams have great relief pitchers nowadays, because there's guys that specialize in doing that. Could a lot of relief pitchers today succeed as starters? Yeah. But the reason why they're so successful is because they don't throw as many pitches, so they have more time to recover, and they're always throwing hard. So it's not like a starter where if you leave him in for 90 pitches, he's going to start losing velocity, losing his stuff. That's why it's a specialized game. It just makes sense. Take your guy out before he starts wearing down, and then bring in somebody fresh. It just makes complete sense like that. But, yeah, a lot of these pitchers, they're being held to low pitch counts. And like you said, Harvey before, he went over his pitch limit, and that seems to factor into what's going on with him right now. But, yeah, it's a really specialized game, and I don't think – if you're talking about records that don't think we broke, and I think the consecutive games played record is one of those things. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's most likely never going to be broken. I don't know if the game may change in the next 100 years or so, but as of right now, no player is really playing – every single day for the whole season, mm-hmm. let alone multiple careers, like a career.
And another thing that surprised me this year is Jake Arrieta. I don't know if we talked about him yet, but he's going for his 20th straight win today, which is, I know wins are not really that important, but it's just incredible that he's won 20 straight decisions. A lot of that goes into his run support, but he has really just come out of nowhere. I know he made some changes in mechanics, and he went from kind of a nobody in Baltimore to just this elite power arm in Chicago. And he won the Cy Young, I believe, last year. And he's going to be a focal part of this of this Cubs team as they try to make a run to the title.
Yeah, so Arrieta, 24 years old with Baltimore in 2010, was 6-6 with 4.66. His ERA then the next year went to 5.05, then 6.20. And then 470, 723. And then 2013 with Chicago, it dropped when he came to Chicago that first year. I mean, you never know. It could be a change of scenery, new coaches, a new set of confidence, just look through for the game. His ERA dropped to 366, 253, 2014. And obviously last year, 22-6 with a 1.77 ERA, obviously winning the Cy Young. And this year so far, he's 8-0 with a 1.29 ERA.
Yeah, the 4 years he was in Baltimore at a 5.46 ERA. And his 4 years in Chicago, he's got a 2.14. He's an elite pitcher, and he really came out of nowhere. And he's one of the best pitchers in the National League and in all of baseball now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all we have to talk about today. A lot of surprises in baseball this year. With the collective bargaining agreement, the revenue sharing, like I was talking about, a lot of small market teams are getting a chance to win again, and that's happening now. You get the Houston Astros, got a lot of young talent, even though a lot of people accuse them of tanking and stuff. Doesn't matter. They got a lot of young talent, and they're really playing well. The Chicago Cubs, no one expected them. The Cleveland Indians, too, are a surprise team. They have Francisco Lindor, who's playing well. Corey Kluber is still in good form. A lot of them, the Central and the AL East, or in the American League this year, Kansas City. Chicago White Sox have finally found a rhythm after having big expectations for a few years. So many surprise teams in the National League East, like we talked about. I think this is just going to be a year where a lot of things you didn't expect to happen are going to happen. No one expected 3 years ago for Jackie Bradley to have a 28-game hitting streak, and no one expected 3 years ago for the Cubs to be making a run at the World Series.
Yeah, and Matt Harvey pitching like he is this year.
And I think a team that we did not talk about that I have huge expectations from this year is the Texas Rangers. Because the Texas Rangers, they're getting Yu Darvish back. He's starting against Pittsburgh on Saturday. And they have Nomar Mazara now in the outfield, who's been a huge power addition. Prince Fielder. They have just so many power bats in that lineup. A lot of young bats. Beltre's still going strong at 37, I believe. Yeah. And they also signed Ian Desmond after there's all the issues with his contract. They ended up swooping him up. It's just a team that you really didn't. You know, they were great back in 2011, 2010, when they were playing the World Series. They went there back-to-back years, I remember. And they weren't able to pull out a title, but they're still young. They got a lot of great talent. A lot of it's homegrown, too. I think this is a year where the Texas Rangers got a lot of expectations. They kind of fell apart in the playoffs last year against Toronto, yeah. But this is going to be a year where Texas has really a shot to dominate the American leagues. The AL East, there's not really a surefire team that's going to win. The Central, there's never, you know, you expect the Royals to do well again, but
yeah, right now they're sitting in third place in Central. I know it's still May, it's still very early on. Anything can happen, and trades can happen.
Exactly.
Obviously, given people like last year, the Mets got the trade and they just went on a run to the World Series.
Yeah, the Blue Jays got benefited the most, I think, from the deadline when they acquired Tulowitzki and Price. They were pretty much the favorite to win it all. Yeah. And
the Royals had a that's the thing. David Price would pitch. And Kansas City, it doesn't matter who you put in. He could be the best strikeout guy. They will not strike out, especially last year. They just would not strike out. They know how to put the bat on the ball. They played small ball. And then you had Hosmer and Moustakas hitting home runs.
That's a homegrown team, too. Yeah. They're probably the most homegrown team in baseball. They really allowed all their prospects to develop, and they all developed nicely. And they've been able to keep Alex Gordon around for a long time. They were able to keep him under contract. And I expect them to do the same with most of their other talent. They've kind of flip-flopped their rotation, who they have pitching this year. Ian Kennedy's been a big surprise for them this year. Mm-hmm. They got Edison Volquez still. And honestly, the Royals, they're always going to have a shot because of how young they are. And they're in a division that's always competitive. Mm-hmm. And the Tigers are always good.
Especially when you have Cleveland right now.
Exactly. The Indians and the White Sox are there. The Twins are kind of still they're in the gutter a little bit. But
15 games back already in May.
But they're young, too. If Buxton develops well, that could change everything. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be a great year for baseball. This is going to be a lot of surprise teams, a lot of surprise players. That's all we have here today. Again, I'm Gary Mika, along with Dominic Capone. We'll see you on our next episode.